When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to the KSR Football Podcast, presented by our friends at Justice Dental, where you can call them today. 859-543-0700 to schedule your appointment at either one of their convenient Lexington locations. Justice Dental, the one-stop shop for all your dental needs. I'm Nick Roush, joined by Drew Franklin, Freddie Maggard, and Adam Luckett, where tonight we are going to be getting into the Tennessee game. Might do a little venting, and It stinks. It stinks being here in the middle of a three-game losing streak, but I don't want to start with a negative. I want to start with a positive because our quarterback, now Drew's quarterback, full-time quarterback, Will Levis, just stroke of genius in his NFL debut, so much so that many people are saying many people are already booking their trips to Canton for his Hall of Fame induction. I can't wait.
Truly a remarkable start in Nashville. I predicted last week that he would actually get murdered. He did not get murdered. He did quite the opposite, and I thought it was a near perfect game by Will Levis. So it didn't fix what happened Saturday that we will address, but Sunday did bring an unexpected smile to at least my face and a lot of Kentucky fans who kept up with that too. A very unexpected debut by Levis. Incredible.
I mean, it was as good as it could have possibly been. There was no...
He did everything right. Everything that I could see.
Even the I know you mentioned on radio, but when I saw him take the sack to make them burn the timeout, I was like, "Why? He's not just like ripping it and being awesome. He's even being the smartest football player ever."
Earlier in the game, he was getting pulled down. He threw it and hit Derrick Henry in the foot to avoid getting grounding and getting a sack. He had one throw that was incredible that didn't get caught off of back foot. I mean, four touchdowns, and all the stats going around that Tannehill had two all season going into that. But who had Levis getting four touchdowns? Not me. Certainly not me.
And he didn't have a bum foot. Wasn't playing on a bum foot anymore. So that was – it was like, oh, yeah, he can move around. He can do some he can do some stuff. He wasn't playing at, you know, whatever, 60% or whatever he was at last year.
He also two tush pushes.
Double tush push. Two for two on the tush push. They might have one in Nashville.
Kind of cool, too, when he's got guys running free, open, and he can just, like, let them run underneath it, too. It's kind of nice when they're not, like, all covered up downfield.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could be excited about the Titans. I didn't know that feeling existed, but it was a nice way. You know the meme where you put the mask over your crying face? When you're, you know, on the back of it, the eyes were bleeding. That was me on Sunday. Still football pain, but that covered it up for 24 hours.
Is there any what's the ceiling is the roof here, Drew? Like, how are expectations now for Will Levis? I was teasing, but like realistically, I mean, can he get your Titans into the playoffs this year?
Jacksonville's pretty hot. I mean, it is the worst division in football. The problem is, I thought we were all in on the rebuild. So now it's like, are we back or are we rebuilding? Or are we just going to finish in the middle of the pack? I either want to tank and link him up with Marvin Harrison Jr. for the next decade, or I want to win the division, not in between. But unfortunately, I think they're just going to kind of win a few more games and do the in between.
Well, and it's almost like the best thing that could happen is if they just let Tannehill suck and tank the year. It's like, all right, we'll keep you for next year, Will. Just go ahead and suck it up, Tannehill.
He'll be a Minnesota Viking by tomorrow.
Is that that would make sense, wouldn't it?
The Jets, he's got to go somewhere. It's clear that he's taking his last snap.
I saw someone tweet out Jameis Winston to the Vikings, and I just want that. Can we sign up for that right now?
Oh, my gosh.
My
please.
Sundays need Jameis Winston interceptions.
Or just Jameis throwing it 100 yards to...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Justin Jefferson, once he gets healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that could be fun. Well, I hope if you all were getting in on the action on Sunday with our friends at Prize Picks, that you hit the square for Levis more touchdowns, because, I mean, that was basically a free square. And that's what you do. You pick different squares. You pick different players in whatever sport, whether it's NFL, college, World Series right now. Brandon Fott, local guy here, a former Shamrock Bellarmine Knight pitching in the World Series. You can pick squares on his strikeouts for tonight. He went 1-2-3 to start the night. So go ahead. Add a little play with Prize Picks. And when you put in promo code KSR, they're going to match your deposit, your first one, up to $100, 100%. So you're sticking $100, they'll throw in $100 more for you to play. That's a different company, but I always like that saying, add a little play in your day. Just do that with Prize Picks. There's so many sports happening right now. You can cross different lines. The Sports Equinox is happening tonight. So go ahead, download the Prize Picks app, put in promo code KSR. They'll match your first deposit up to 100%, up to $100. Right now with our friends at Prize Picks. We got to say some nice things to start off the show. We've already gotten some things off our chest about the Tennessee Volunteers. Freddie, do you have any thoughts, anything you would like to say about that school?
About the school or the game?
Both.
I'm glad it's 3 hours from here. That's the compliment I got.
Yep, that's a nice thing.
The game, I mean, to me, there were moments in the game that the eventual winner was going to win or lose the football game. Tennessee won those moments, and Kentucky went away, right? Whether it be a critical drive, critical play, just the game-changing big moments in the game. Tennessee stepped up. Kentucky did not. The Vols won. It's that easy.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It felt like we talked a lot about that, too, the week before, Luckett, where it was just like, hey, situational football.
Yeah, I mean, just in a football game, there's going to be high-leverage situations you have to win. A lot of times they come in the fourth quarter. Sometimes they come at the end of the half. Kentucky didn't win them. Tennessee won them. Kentucky didn't win them the last time we saw them before the Tennessee game. Missouri did. Like, I kind of look at the Missouri and Tennessee games very similar. Things really unraveled on Kentucky against Missouri. They didn't as much against Tennessee, but at the end of the day, like, you got to go out, like, it's a 50-50 game. Got to go win it. And Tennessee went and won it. Kentucky didn't. And it was just frustrating because I think there were some, I think, in-game coaching decisions made that you could disagree with that they might want back, and that had a part in the game. But then in the end, you know, throw a shovel pass, got the guy hit behind the line of scrimmage, you got to bring him down. Can't let him get a first down. Your downs, what were they? They get the field goal, they cut it to 6-point game. You got to get off the field, give your offense at least a chance to go win the game. They situationally in the fourth quarter, winning time in a high leverage situation, they came up short, and that was disappointing. No getting around it.
Yeah, and it's the thing too, Drew, is like I think a lot of people still feel differently, even though the Missouri and Tennessee games did unfold in similar fashion, right? Like you're at home, you've got a team on the ropes, this close game in the fourth quarter, 2-point game, you're trailing, 1-point game, you're ahead. But yet I feel a little bit different about the games, and it might just be because they passed the ball and caught it. But at the same time, it was equally as frustrating that Kentucky just couldn't tackle anybody, and especially they couldn't tackle that stupid team in the orange that they never can seem to tackle.
Yeah, I want to be happy and excited that Larry had, 372 or whatever it was, and I want to be happy that 4 penalties, 20 yards. If you told me that before the game, I'm ready to have a parade. But they still lost to Tennessee, and I don't do silver linings or moral victories or, well, at least we did this against Tennessee. It's three times in my lifetime. I'm just tired of losing to them. You had that beautiful rant after the game that went super viral on Sunday. I mean, I think you spoke for everyone. It's just, it's something about it being Tennessee that I don't, I mean, I might care later in the week that Leary had 372, but right now I still don't care because they didn't get the job done at home when it was right in front of them.
Because part of me too, Freddie, like I can see, you know, the team went down 10-0. It was 3-4. They could have very easily spiraled just as badly and as poorly as they did after that fake punt against Missouri. But they showed a little bit of resolve. There was some stuff there where I'm like, you know, I think they're, you know, Stoops is talking about them playing more selfless, and I want to like bite and like, you know, get the hook and pull me in. But at the same time, it's like it's a Halloween. Why are we just now figuring out how to be selfless? Like, can we not do that like a month ago? I mean, there's part of me that I can't buy all the way in on the optimism, the reason to be optimistic for Mark Stoops, because it's just like, man, it was right there. It was right there for the taking.
It was there for the taking, and if you look at the numbers, I mean, the two teams got there differently, but it was even as you can get, right? So it all goes to situation. And mainly with the Tennessee defense or offense and the Kentucky offense. But defensively, anytime the quarterback throws for 86%, the best running back averages 11 yards a carry for over 100 yards, you're not going to win the football game. Simple as that. And then the run, the tackles, you know, the tackling is poor. The fits were worse. I mean, it was a bad performance. And, you know, you get 253 on the ground, you're not going to win like that. And, you know, it's concerning for me, the defense more so. I'm with whoever said it. I don't know if I can get excited, you know, because like you said, where's it been? I mean, why does it take 8 games for this team to become unselfish? And I'm glad they are, but, you know, for me, this weekend, again, as a crossroads, whatever you wanted to call it, but, you know, bowl eligibility is coming into the discussion, and that's something that we should not be talking about this year, is getting to that magical number. But that's where this team sits right now after losing 3 in a row with a very difficult schedule coming up.
And the run defense part was concerning. I know that Tennessee plays with a different tempo like it, but this was the strength of the team. And, you know, there's going to be times when you play a team like Tennessee that they run the ball well. They do that. Like, they're going to create some holes. It was the inability to really slow them down once they got, like, just, like, get them to the damn ground. Like, why are they getting seemingly five or six extra yards after every carry? Whether they're running into bodies at the line of scrimmage or they're getting one person to wrap up 3 yards down, it felt like they kept falling forward all night, and it was just aggravating yards time and time again that really cost Kentucky, to where when they finally did get stops, Tennessee was kicking field goals instead of punting it.
Yeah, run defense was an issue, but you look at a lot of Tennessee scores, they just pass that. They can't force incompletions. I mean, you got a cornerback that falls down on a go route to give up a touchdown to a receiver that hadn't really done anything all year for Tennessee.
His name was Nimrod, for crying out loud.
So that can't happen. Two-minute drill. Where Kentucky was before Milton scrambles and throws that to White, like, all you have to do right there is don't give up an explosive play. If you don't give up an explosive there, they're not going to be in field goal range, and you're going to go to the half. The half's going to end in a Hail Mary. And then it made it even worse. Milton, like, the worst thing to do right there if you're Milton is to kind of scramble there and waste time. So, like, that, everything was going in Kentucky's favor, and you get lost in coverage. Another one, you dive for a ball that you have no business diving on second and 20. And you allow them to get a cheap first, a 41-yard gain to set up another scoring chance. Like, the pass defense is a major, major problem right now. For whatever reason, and it's 3 games in a row where it's been an issue. Missouri, they did a better job taking away explosives, but they still gave up a ton of underneath stuff that let them move the ball methodically, and they just can't cover people right now. And so I think that's when you can't do that, that's eventually going to leak into your run defense. And I think that happened on Saturday. Tennessee, you know, they have a lot of different challenges, and they're doing a lot more with the QB run, design run. Now that makes it a little tougher to fit up. But at the end of the day, they can't stop the pass right now. And that's the balance that goes back and forth. And they just got a lot of problems right now. They played three good offenses in a row, but they haven't been up to snuff in either of them. Haven't played well enough to win either of those games. And that's not how Kentucky wants to be built. That's not how they built this team. That's not how they built this roster. That's not how they game plan. They're not. They're not built to win like this. They got to get some stops. And like, to me, the biggest concerning part was at the end. We've seen Kentucky give up some big numbers and get into some shootouts. But we've always seen them have a chance with the ball to go win the game at the end, it seems like to me. Right? You look back to Tennessee 2021. You look back to Ole Miss 2020. I believe they had the ball, chance to win the game. Even Louisville back in 2016. You could find a way to get a stop and you get a chance to go win the game. They couldn't get the stop. And they had a couple opportunities there on that last drive. That's very concerning. To me. And the defense, they just have a lot to work out. And it's almost like you plug one hole, right? You figure out the passing game, and then
This is Vegas vacation.
Two more holes show up in your pool.
Need more gum.
Yeah, we need a lot of Trident over here.
Yeah. And one of the person in the chat asked, did they not practice tempo in practice? I mean, yeah, they do, but it's not the same as being in the game. Like, it's just not. You can't simulate it with a scout team. But Freddie, I got a question for you, because it's Brad White's taken a lot of hell, and you know, rightfully so. Like, they went from not allowing 30 plus points for like once in 3 years seemingly to three in a row. So yeah, there's some criticism there. Stoops said tonight that the scheme is right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that? And if so, then what's wrong right now? What's wrong?
I don't see any structure or schematic changes that produce top five defenses, right? So, I mean, I don't see any holes in the structure or anything schematic that I think is weird or not right. I just think a lot of it is playing smarter football and then winning one-on-one situations, right? Whether it be in pass defense, whether it be engaging a blocker, making a tackle. You know, I saw a lot of running around or side stepping blocks. And when you do that, that's when you get, you know, long runs. So, you know, it's a course of stuff right now. And of all Tennessee, will have many passes. Milton completed 18 passes, 21 attempts, zero passes defended. That means Kentucky got their hands on zero football. So that not only were Tennessee completing, Kentucky didn't get a hand on anything. So I don't think structural, I don't think it's different. I think that Kentucky has been exposed at depth, at cornerback, really bad. And maybe some roster management in that secondary. Then the linebackers got to play better. I mean, everybody's picking on the secondary. There's some stuff to go around with the linebackers too, as far as run fits and engaging blocks. So there's a lot to it. I don't want to get complicated, but I don't see anything structurally weird or anything like that, Nick. I just think they have to execute better, they have to play better, they have to practice better. They just have to be better individual football players, because when you get spread out like that in an offense like Tennessee, you get exposed. It's a lot of one-on-one, my guy, your guy, and their guys won more than ours.
It's twice in 3 years now where we've gotten to this point in the schedule, and the secondary is a pretty big personnel problem on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a trend now. So they've got to figure out why that's happened twice now in three seasons. That's probably the most concerning point to me with when you're looking at the defense. And they need more depth at corner, but I also don't think like Hairston and Phillips are the top of the problems when you're talking about just the defensive back situation. Like, the safeties were supposed to be, that was supposed to be maybe the best position group on the team. Now, injuries hurt. You know, you miss Geiger for really the entire three-game chunk, the toughest schedule, or the toughest point of the schedule you're going to go through. Just back-to-back offenses like that. So that hurts not having him. And you miss Lovett for half of that. But they're just not getting good play from safety. And then the corner is what it is. We knew that that was going to be a struggling point. But they don't have any depth there. That they can't work in guys. And so that it's just the whole – it's a problem right there. And it's – you get. I think that's going to be an offseason. Like, how did it get like this? And how do we prevent it from that happening again? And I think after the year, that's probably going to be a talking point for Mark Stoops. It's going to be, you know, we've got to have more resources available if stuff happens in the secondary.
Well, and what you saw is you had – it's – I'm not going to just sit here and make excuses, but, like, look what – this is the portal era, right? So, Lovett and Childress have great years to end the season. Geiger's back from injury, so Kobe Albert's like, eh, I know I'm just finishing my true freshman year, but I'm not going to be playing anytime soon, so let me go to Mississippi State. Well, he's a former four-star. He goes there, he plays a game, but he has to have season-ending knee injury. But, like, that's a four-star that you could really use right now, right? Another four-star that they brought in this year. You know, I don't know how effective those guys would be right now, but Grady Judd, you know, he has knee surgery beginning of the season too.
Nick Fedotisnell gets dismissed.
Yeah.
They replace him with Kevin Larkins. Larkins never shows up for whatever reason. So that's boom D2 boom guy. That's boom boom after the season starts. So that's a body right. That's a person right there that you could have went out and got and had something right there, and you've got nothing. To that, you sign a safety who can't play, like right now, Jeremiah Anglin. He's a freshman, but he can't play. He's injured. Elijah Reed, is he playing safety or is he playing cornerback? I don't know. Like, are you bouncing him back and forth? What's going on there? And, you know, thank goodness Ty Bryant.
Yeah,
where he's at, he can help you right now. And so that might be a glimmer of hope when you're projecting out forward. And for me, one of those spots should be his. What I've seen the last 2 weeks compared to everyone else.
It's not ideal, but I guess if we want to do silver lining, Drew, I know you don't like silver linings. Here's one.
It's okay. I'll play.
Mississippi State is not running the air raid anymore. Silver lining. Yeah.
Silver lining.
Ooh, not silver lining. It's Starkville.
Mm-hmm. Not good. Not good, Bob.
What was the quote that Mark Stoops had today? We haven't had a lot of success there. It's like, oh, is that how we're going to describe it? We've got our ass kicked there every year forever. We've played some close games against that team. It's like, yeah, at Kroger Field, even done diddly down in Starkville. It's been terrible.
I look forward to being the streak buster in my first Starkville trip.
Oh, man. We need it. Like, God, it's...
I was there the last time they won. That feels like 40 years ago. I think I was a child.
So I just got my driver's permit the last time that Kentucky won in Starkville, okay? It was half my lifetime ago. 2008, all right?
Oh, that's when it was?
2008.
I remember that game because that was back when, like, the SEC would have these random games on, like, these random, like, pay-per-view channels in 08. And it was on there, so I had to go to B-Dubs to watch the game. I do remember going to the Lexington pre-cast bar. 2008. I do remember going to Buffalo Wild Wings and watching Kentucky beat Mississippi State that day. So that's how long ago it's been. Yeah,
it was a thrilling 14-13 contest in lovely Starkville. A weekend I will remember forever because we drove to Ole Miss to find something to do.
Old Sylvester Croom football. Who can forget it?
Saw Radar down there for all you Radar fans. Ran into him. Had a nice Woodford in the stands with Radar. Still a little UK celebrity sighting.
Is Radar still a thing? Is he still Radar?
I don't think he's driving, but I've seen him recently. He goes to a lot of UK baseball games, so he's still around. But I think he's
I think Uber kind of ended Radar's racket there. Yeah. I think that officially put an end to that.
It's tough.
Man, the funniest part about Radar was – that he had, I mean, that was like a passenger van, right? That he was hauling people around in. But the passenger seat was just filled with garbage. I mean, It was a mountain of garbage. And it's like
Trevor Kelce style.
Oh, it was even worse than Trevor Kelce. And like he would say that it was purposeful, like he purposely did it so that like people weren't next to him and bothering him. But also, how do you acquire that much garbage? Because it was just it filled the entire seat. I didn't understand.
You know, most people think he's a college memory. Me and about eight adult men used him to go to a golf scramble, the KSR golf scramble in Louisville. We took Radar as grownups. There were some guys in the group who weren't even familiar. I mean, we're talking, these guys were old enough to have kids that are probably in college, and they're like, "What is this ride you booked us?" I'm like, "Just move the newspaper. It's fine. We'll get there."
And for those who weren't around for the Radar era, I don't even really know how to describe Radar. Then he was just a sober driver who was always. He's the man. He was always there. Yeah. That's a great blast from the past. Memories. I should probably read that.
Oh, go for it.
Wait, let me see here. Who are we talking about today? Probably Game Time. I really like Game Time. It's much easier to get tickets through Game Time than to get a ride through Radar. There's my segue. Drew, I got really excited to watch Nate Bargatze on SNL Saturday night. He's coming to RUP. I should get tickets through Game Time because Game Time, fastest way to get last-minute deals on tickets. That's not like any time in the very near future. But when it comes around, because I'm going to procrastinate, and I'm going to ask my buddy who's related to him, be like, "Hey, give me tickets." And he'll say, "Yes, I can." And then it'll be the last minute and be like, "Actually, I couldn't get you tickets. I'm going to get on Game Time and I'm going to use promo code KSR and I'm going to get 20% off of those tickets," because that's what happens when you sign up with Game Time. It's not 20% off, $20 off your first purchase. Still a great deal. So go ahead, do that now, whether you're going to watch Nate Bargatze, great concert, whatever it may be, they will hook you up. Fastest last-minute tickets, best app out there, Game Time. Download today, promo code KSR, $20 off your first purchase. Now, where were we?
Mississippi State, going down there and not being good at it and seeing Radar. We blocked an extra point just to win. That's how freaky it is down there. We had to block an extra point just to get the heck out of there.
Freddie, what's frustrating to you more, losing to the Tennessee Volunteers or sound of cowbells?
Cowbells don't annoy me.
Really?
No. Matter of fact, I was at a high school game this year and all the fans had them. It's okay. It's part of the unique deal. Losing to Tennessee is much more frustrating than hearing cowbells.
Well, at high school games too, it's usually just a couple. It's not like they're playing Who Let the Dogs Out and you're hearing like 30,000 of them shake at the same time. That just... well, I could bring earplugs, by the way. That's like you need to. It's a real thing. Outdoor press box, it's just, if not, you're going to be, it's brutal. It's brutal. But Freddie, there was something that happened Saturday, and I've been waiting for you to talk about it. Your favorite play in the world finally worked.
Yeah. Hey, listen. One out of 712 this year is good for me. So I'm glad it finally worked. And hey, I'll take it, you know. But I still hate it, right? Yeah.
Well, there was a couple other situations too that I want to get your thoughts on. The fourth down calls, the going for it, the play call. So, like, did you agree with the decision to go for it, or to kick it, or to not go for it? And then did you agree with the play call?
I was cool with the decision to go for it. I mean, it's Tennessee. I mean, they're going to score, right? So you had to keep up with them. I wasn't thrilled with the vertical to the running back, you know, and I can't imagine in my life that was the call play or that was the focus of that route. That had to have been the third or fourth or fifth option. I don't know. And then the Wildcat kind of – I know Adam's head's getting ready to roll off his shoulders, but – you know, you had it rolling, man, and you took the ball out of Leary's hands and started a series of Wildcat. Two plays later, it is what it is. So, I was cool with the fourth down calls. I didn't like, you know, the vertical to the running back, and I'm glad we finally hit one of those high percentage throws for a touchdown.
Oh, it look at can you see? Was Dane open on that play, that fourth and six? Because
it would have had to been a great throw, and he's got to. It would have had been a perfect throw, and Dane's got to get upfield fast. I mean, it's bang bang. They had like a rub there. I don't think Demme ran a great route. Like you got to be on your horse there, and he wasn't because they had him beat. They had the room, but the Tennessee guy stayed on top of the route. I think maybe they would maybe want someone else running that route in hindsight, because it was open. It just I don't think he got there fast enough because they did kind of their focus was burying on that. When you kind of go back and watch it, I think that's probably a call. They would want back for sure. And then we talked about that. To me, I don't like the bad. Two of my biggest problems, the fourth and one to start the game. I don't understand why, if you're going to go for it, why has it changed after you're just down 7-0? I mean, it's still early in the game. If you're going to go for it second possession, I think you should go for it first possession. And then the field goal, I don't think that should change your thought process at all. I mean, it was the same situation. You kick one and you don't kick the other. Like, I think your decision-making should be the same on both of those. I don't understand why. They changed there would be my only thought on that. And I would have liked to seen them, like, I would rather seen them, like, run a draw there on 3rd and 10 than to run that play they did. Because even if you run a draw, you might pop it, but you're probably going to get 4 or 5 yards. And then that with the 52 becomes a 47, 46 is much more makeable. And then you put some game pressure on Tennessee in the fourth quarter, and you weren't able to do that. Necessarily, and that maybe the game looks different if you have a lead there as opposed to still being down.
That 3rd and 11 was my most frustrating thing of the game, outside of the stupid catch that wasn't a catch. But I hated not getting Rainer a few more yards. You're down two, there's 10 minutes left in the game. Crowd's buzzing. Get him five or get him something and give him a better chance. And I think they're up one there instead of throwing it out of bounds, they don't have a chance. That one haunted me on Sunday morning when I woke up.
Yeah, I mean, I said I'm not going to talk about the Wildcat, but, like, you just...
Do it!
You take, like, you have, like, Leary is just cooking, and you just take all the pressure off of Tennessee's defense. Like, if I'm Tennessee's defensive coordinator, and they go out Wildcat, I'm like, okay, let's catch a breath, we'll stop this run, we'll get a win here. In a game where you're averaging barely over 3 yards per rush, I think Ray Davis finished with under 3 yards per rush. It just didn't make... I just don't know why you go to that there. And you take the ball out of Leary's hands. I just think that's something that we shouldn't have seen there.
Two plays we need to scrap, right? You know, Wildcat, we had our fun with you. It was a good time. See ya. We don't need you. We're good. Like, we can find other ways. Do the end around play with Ray Davis. That was awesome.
Beautiful. I love that. That was a great red zone play.
Yeah. The Wildcat, see ya. Get out of here. Other one that I'm done with, just scrap it, light it on fire, fart on it, get it the hell out of here. The inside screens just aren't working. It was that was the play before the third down play, right after Wildcat, sandwich in between there. Devin Leary can't throw over these defensive linemen. Like, part of the way that those screens are supposed to work, you let the defensive linemen come in, you throw it over the top of them. He can't throw it over top of them, and when he does, they don't have the thing blocked. I know that it was like, well, they might have had something here. It's like, first off, there was a guy there that nobody was blocking that was ready to bust it up, and even then, you would you had to get a body on him, right? Like, I'm done with him. I'm completely done with him. And one thing that I know this isn't the air raid Luckett. Can we get a shallow cross every once in a while? Like, is there zero opportunities for a little yards after catch for these receivers? Where it's like, I love the comebacks with Dane. That was great. And I might sound nitpicky here. Like, I do like a lot of the things that Kentucky implemented this week. I really love the tempo after the explosives. It felt like those were very efficient, and they helped get Leary into a rhythm. But there's some stuff, the screens, let's just get it out, get it the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think just tight ends and running backs involved in the pass game was nice. Jordan Dingle had a big game. Josh Caddis had two, 15-plus, I think, yard receptions to get you set up with a scoring opportunity. I think the tight ends had a really good game. I think getting the backs, like Davis had, I believe, an 11 and a 12-yard catch. So just the distributing the ball was good and nice to see. But again, I think they took the ball out of Leary's hands so just a time or two too much when he's got it. Like, we've waited all year for this. Like, waited all year to get this guy going. He's got it going. And let's not, you know, you're not running the ball. But Tennessee's pass rush was not like I thought Kentucky's O-line from a pass pro perspective.
They did great.
Did a really good job. Now, I think a lot of that goes to scheme and getting the ball out quick and Leary not messing around back there. But he's hot. Just let him go. Like, at that point in the game when you felt like the vibes were turning, you felt like Kentucky was going to win the game because they had the dude at behind center tonight. Like, he's going to win this game for them. Like, this is why they went and got this guy. So let him go win it for you. And I don't feel like they did that. And part of that goes to the defense because they didn't give him an opportunity to go win it down one possession in the fourth quarter. But you had that opportunity to start it, and you didn't capitalize on it because I think you took the ball out of his hand when you really shouldn't have. But that was my only real big criticism. I think the offense, it was good to see that passing game take off, explode against a good defense. Like, that Tennessee defense is good defense, and they lit them up through the air, and that was a very positive sign.
Now I have the Bird Dogs question for the panel. It's the million-dollar question. You don't have to spend $1 million at Bird Dogs to get the most fashionable clothes in the business, efficient workwear, whether you want shorts that are lined up or very comfortable slacks, shirts. Bird Dogs has everything to make sure you're stylish. Guys, just hint to your wives, like, hey, honey, it's Christmas. I need some new swag. Bird Dogs is going to hook us up. Put in promo code KSR, you're going to get a Hydro Flask style water bottle with that purchase as well. Bada boom, bada bam. That's another gift they can give to somebody. Go ahead, get your holiday shopping done early with Bird Dogs. Promo code KSR. The Bird Dogs question, Mr. Franklin. Is this the Devin Leary that we're going to see from here on? Or was this this passing performance a one-off?
Eileen, yes. And I like that you just said Devin Leary and not the whole everything, because I don't know that I'll think everyone will continue to show up like they have. We'll see about that. But I'll say yes, this was good for Leary's confidence. Got him in the shotgun a little more, mixed it up a little bit. I love their first touchdown drive. 6 or 7 plays, but Key had 2 catches. Robinson had a catch. Brown had 2 catches. I saw him getting in a rhythm, and it seems he really needs to get in a flow like that. It won't be all 4 games the rest of the way, but 75% of them, I think, were pleased with how Devin Leary plays.
Freddie, do you think he's turned a corner? This passing offense has turned a corner?
I would love to say yes, but I got one game compared to what? I mean, they played before that, so that gives me a little pause.
That's fair.
Not Leary. I mean, I think I don't think we can throw this. Just you can't throw it all on him. But as far as the entire passing game operation, I don't know, because you're going to get you got to go against that Bama defense. It's got dudes everywhere, and Louisville defense got dudes everywhere. So it's going to be a little bit different. But I think it was a positive. But I'm weighing the body of work comparison, and we'll see.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is there's 2 bad pass defenses on the schedule, Mississippi State and South Carolina. So if you can put some good games together there, that can build confidence of everybody and rhythm and all of that. And we've seen Leary, I pulled it today, his close at 2021, he got on a scorcher. And really did most of his damage in November. And we saw Cohen's offense took off last time he was here in November. Went down the road and hung a 50 burger. So if those 2 meet, then I definitely think you could see some really good things coming for this Kentucky offense. But you have to acknowledge, don't try not to get hook, line, and sinkered by maybe a one-hit wonder.
Right, right.
But also we've seen, but to say that with a one-hit wonder, we've seen this OC and we've seen this quarterback do it before in November, like have a big breakthrough. So I don't think it's like crazy to think it could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen every game, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has a couple more 300-yard games to close out the year.
And it would be huge to have it this Saturday. to snap that streak, build some morale. And also, it's not just confidence for this year, because by now, this season's going to end far short of expectations unless they win out, right? Or if they beat Bama, Louisville, and one of the, you know, like that, you have to do something extraordinary. This team, it's probably going to be well below our expectations of what we thought. So how you perform does matter down the stretch here. Like, do we think that this is going in the right way? Like, are those playmakers, like, are you going to do enough to talk us into it again next year? Right? Like, because that's what a lot of this is, Drew, is, right? It's like, hey, keep me coming back for more. Can I sink that putt on 18 that gets me back to the course one more time after I chunked it and had a couple snowmen on the back nine? Because that's where we're at with this football season.
Exactly. And that's why I'm not too – I mean, I'm very disappointed that they lost to Tennessee and then still lingering Missouri disappointment. But I'm not – part of the crowd that's just throwing this whole season away or throwing the coach away yet, because if they go out and win three or four games, we go, you know what, that was just a weird October. You know, let's move on. Just imagine what could have happened if they had done something in that Missouri game. And you don't forget what happened, but the season's fine, I think, if you win three or four moving out. So I'm not ready to give up or anything yet, because as you said, you can make that last putt. Now, if they don't get any better and those games don't go well, then we got to have some awkward conversations at the end of the year. But I'm still optimistic, not just being fanboy sunshine pumper. It's just the teams that are ahead outside of Alabama, it's not crazy to think Kentucky can win all of those. And that's still a good year, I think. So I'm still hanging in there a little bit moving forward with the rest of the year.
And to go with that putting analogy too, there aren't any Matt Jones gimmies or Liam Cohen gimmies left. I mean, you can't just pick it up, right? It's Starkville. No. You haven't won there.
Matt picks
forever.
Up the Alabama game at Alabama. That's that's a Matt gimme.
But the thing about it, like Luckett mentioned it, Freddie, maybe you can speak more to this, but like this Mississippi State team is not very good. But you know what? They have to show up for their coach's sake. Like there's a lot riding on it this game, so you have to play well early. To kind of smash their hopes and dreams, because this is going to be a desperate football team at home.
Very desperate. And that head coach, that fan base, those players, they got this game circled as this is one we can get. You know, they watch TV. They see Kentucky against Georgia probably, and that's how the environment's going to be. You know, I wrote this down earlier. Kentucky, you know, Alabama at home is Alabama at home. But you're going to have to play in three – Super Bowl environments, right? Mississippi State Super Bowl, because they think they can beat Kentucky, and they have beat them several times. Then you're going to Carolina, and I guarantee you that's going to be their Super Bowl. And then if Louisville's 10-1 and Kentucky rolls in there, you all know better than me, that place will be. So they're looking at some crazy environments. So they got to go down and get this one. On a side note, your guy's favorite coach is having a complete meltdown tonight.
This is great. Yeah, we were going to have to get to this before it ended. But, Freddie, you've been all over this story. Dabo Swinney is just losing his marbles right now on the Clemson call-in show because
yes, he is.
Somebody called in. Dabo, he put his foot in his mouth, right? What was his quote a couple weeks ago? We need more people to lose to get off the bandwagon.
Maybe we should lose a few more games to get some people off this bandwagon.
Well, they lost a few more games. they're 4-4.
Check that one.
They're 4-4. It's the first time they've had four losses in a season since 2011. They're 2-4 in the ACC too. That's equally as bad. And a fan called and asked why Clemson's paying him a huge salary to just go 4-4. He says, you're part of the problem. And he said, if you want to apply for the job, go for it. And good luck to you. He doubled down too, Freddie. You like this. To answer your question, I started as the lowest paid coach in this business. I worked my ass off. I'm not going to let this smart ass kid get on the phone and tell me how to do my job. I work for the board of trustees.
Oh, my God.
He's crumbling. He can't handle it.
Oh, my goodness.
He can't handle it.
He's calling out smart-ass kids? I mean, that's next level.
Oh, man, it's great.
I don't want to change the story from Dabo.
I work for the board is a hell of a line. I work for the board. Oh, my goodness.
Does Dabo know that the fans can also kind of crank it up a notch and maybe, you know, get your ass out of there? Like,
he's about to find out.
The thing is, too, he's never had a bump in the road either at Clemson, right? Like, it's been just up, up, up. He don't know how to handle it. Things go a little bit, things get a little rocky.
They have to keep him long enough. Every Saturday I wait for him to fall down the hill. He can't get out of there without falling down the hill one time. Do not let him leave Clemson without tripping, running down that hill one time. Every Saturday I go to look and I try to catch it live, just hoping he will eat it. Not yet. Don't fire him until he gets to fall down. Maybe that'll be his last game. He'll eat it running down to play South Carolina this year and lose to Beamer on 1 foot.
Oh, man. It's like my dog when he sees a squirrel on our front porch and he jumps off and his feet give out and he kind of skids on his chest. Like, I want to see Dabo do the penguin slide on his chest because he falls down.
Can I butt in with some news that's very important to the state of Kentucky that's not football?
Yes, please. Butt away.
Kentucky Wesleyan leads Louisville by 5 with 3.5 minutes to go in basketball. And I just want you all to know, Kentucky Wesleyan. Wesleyan in Owensboro, Kentucky, leads the University of Louisville in the sport of men's basketball now with 3 minutes left.
Those are the fighting Ryan Lemons, right?
That is correct. Do not let Ryan Lemon have this moment, Louisville. You will never hear the end of it.
All-American Ryan Lemon. Academic All-American.
Sorry, Freddie. I know we don't talk about that other sport, but this is important to the Commonwealth.
Is that a real game or is that like a scrimmage?
They lost the scrimmage last year too, Freddie. So I know that might be puzzling, but at least that team was D3. They're just D2, Kentucky Wesleyan. I thought you were going to say 5 points before half. And I was like, oh, you know, that happens. No. Teams struggle for a half against exhibitions. Oh, my gosh. Wesleyan guy. Oh, he missed a layup, and now he's going to the free throw line.
Yeah. It's beautiful, isn't it? Anyway, that's just – we needed that to cheer us up. You know, our other rivalry didn't go so well this past weekend, so we can laugh at that one right now.
Man, they suck so bad. Really, really bad. Like, really, really.
It's good
really,
to see.
Really
it's good
bad.
To see.
Like, they are very bad at basketball. Freddie, I think you could coach this team better than Kenny Payne.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else we need to get off our chest before we end? I know we probably weren't as animated, but I'm not going to lie. Folks like, oh, you're viral again, Rauschwitz. It's like this happens all the time. I get Tennessee fans. They do this. They do this to me all the time. I'm becoming a little numb, and that's the part that I worry about is that I've seen 30 of these, and only 3 of them have sung a different song. So like I've got a callus built up to the Volunteers, and so this one it hurts me, but like I feel like I get over it a little bit quicker because I've done that before. And I don't like that. Like that's not a positive sign. Like it. Like I need to. I can't have this cycle make me numb to it because I hate them and they suck and they're the worst. I should be pissed off.
Yeah, I think it's fair to be upset about that loss on Saturday. I think it's fair. Like you can look back and they're on the verge of having 2 pretty disappointing seasons in a row, when it was set up for them to really make a run at 9-10 wins. Both these years. I think it's fair to be upset about that. I think it's fair to be upset. Like, why did it take this offense for this long to get going? I think it's fair to be upset. Why did this defense just fall apart when it did? But I think they do have a chance to get it going here. But it all starts on Saturday. Like, they have to win that game Saturday night. I mean, we keep saying this. They have to win. But this is a team that... they're for sure better than. They're better than this Mississippi State team. Whereas Missouri, Tennessee, and Georgia are all top 20 teams. So, but you got to go prove that you belong in that up, like towards that top 20 and not towards bottom, like sub 50. And so Saturday's a big moment. Like they, it's a place, you know, this is another streak you got to break. Like you got to go win a road game. You got to go win in Starkville. And so I think it's a huge game, but if they can get this one, I think they can potentially get going a little bit. And Alabama's Alabama, but this isn't a typical Alabama team. Like Arkansas, that just went and fired their offensive coordinator, could be headed to a 4-8 season, had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter in Tuscaloosa. They were right there. Alabama in recent road games has not been great. I mean, these games are going to the wire in a lot of their road games. So if you can go into that game with some confidence, I think you've got a chance to, you know, have a good outing there and potentially get into that game in a one possession game in the fourth quarter. But it's, you need to take care of this first one first, and you need to build some momentum here. You need to figure out some things on defense, because this Mississippi State offense is not near as good as the three you just played. So let's see you have a good out. Let's see you get right, and let's see this passing game take advantage of what's been a bad pass defense. Let's see the run game get going again. And so I think it's just a huge game from that aspect. Now, if they go down there and they need to grind out a 17-14 win, I don't think you would take a win regardless. You wouldn't feel great about that. But if they go out there and play like you think Kentucky can play, I think it could be a good building block for the rest of the year, but they have to go do it.
Final, that feels like a good place to end it. But before we end it, I do need to ask one more question. Y'all ever been to Memphis in New Year's?
Is that where we're going?
Might be.
I feel very positive that feels like the location when you kind of write everyone else out.
I mean, there's worse places to be than Beale Street. I've never been to Beale Street, and I believe that game like it is a nooner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I looked it up today. It's at like 4 o'clock, so 3 o'clock local. It's like the 29th. I think it's December 29th.
Oh, I thought we were getting New Year's Eve. Because, like, that's the only way you get this old man out on New Year's Eve is at a bowl game. Like, think I'm going downtown on New Year's Eve?
We'll have a good time. We'd have a good time in Memphis on December 27th and 28th.
Well, and if the Cats win and then it's a 4 o'clock game, then, you know, we do our rapid reactions. We write our posts after a big win. And then we go waddle around like booze hound ducks down on Beale Street. That doesn't sound like a bad time.
No.
If it's Memphis, you all might be a party of three with me, or four with Steven, too. Me tagging along.
We have to go to some barbecue joints and do some YouTube content if it's Memphis.
We have to do
some barbecue reviews.
And not only like when we were at the draft at Kansas City, when it's like you get three meats for your plate and you're like, three meat? Like, I mean, I guess I have to, but I that was where I learned what the meat sweats were. I've heard about the meat sweats, but I was like, oh man, like I understand. Like this is a lot. This is a lot. I don't think I consumed any alcoholic beverages afterwards because I was just a walking meatball afterwards. So
yeah,
make me a meatball. I don't care.
And Vegas is not an option for the SEC. I see that in the chat right now. It alternates Big Ten, SEC, and this is a Big Ten year.
So Wesley just hit a three.
SEC cannot go to Vegas.
Oh, 5-point game with 90 seconds left.
All right, so we just got to be our play-by-play people for our non-ESPN Plus folks down the stretch here. I mean, Louisville is just not finishing at the rim, and the refs are bailing them out every time. It's pretty ridiculous. Apologies for derailing it, but this is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I mean, let's defend Louisville. Wesleyan, they got a good team this year.
Good jerseys.
Yeah, they almost got jerseys with their names on them. Not quite that big of a year.
Are these reversibles?
I'm not sure.
Kind of
Louisville. There are that crowd. At least some people stayed. I'm surprised anyone's there.
Oh, the volleyball team draws way bigger crowds than the basketball team, and that's like not even close to an exaggeration.
There's no one can see this, but Scott Clark. Former future Cat there in Louisville gear. It's gonna be a tough L they're gonna hold here in a second.
Yeah, he's something else, that guy.
He is.
Yeah.
They all are. Everyone think about Kenny Payne tonight when you lay down in bed, you kiss your family and turn off the lights and tuck yourself in. Just think about Kenny Payne.
You know what? I can't feel that bad for him because I know, like, this is embarrassing for him to come back to his alma mater and just fail so miserably. But, like, he's getting paid very well to fail. I mean, I wish I could. It's like our guy Brian Ferentz. I mean, Luckett, it's a shame to see him go, but, like, he's getting paid very well to not be good. And, like, some would argue that I'm doing the same thing, but I'm not getting paid very well.
Like, he can finally – the quiet quitting can just end.
Yeah.
Like they're just finally moving on from him. So let's just go. We will miss – college football internet will miss the jokes for sure.
I was a little thrown off by this. Is it mathematically impossible to average 25 or whatever it is now? It feels a little premature to me. He's got time left.
Well, and I think that's what they were trying to do, is to try to, like, now before they made it, like, you know, it's December and that we're talking
about. They need 48 points per game to will they score 52 against Nebraska to extend Brian Ferentz.
Don't let Brian get hot.
I'm sure it was a couple-week thing. They were trying to finally get it done so they could – in the jokes.
Oh my gosh, Louisville, the rest are trying their best to just give him a shot.
Did Wesleyan get its own offensive rebound there?
They did, and dribbled out like 30 more seconds, and jump ball, 6 seconds on the clock. Wesleyan's up three. They got the ball underneath their basket with 42 to play. So
I just need Ryan Lemon to have this moment. Can we get a post-game show? I bet we can get a post-game show. I'm going to send him a text. Well, let's get Ryan Lemon on the air.
Oh, they just... they scored again. Inbounds play. Oh, my gosh. They ran an inbounds play. Now Scott Clark's going to try to make something happen. Oh, man. They gave him a foul on that, too. Gosh. The refs really are trying to help him. I would love to...
I forgot about the basketball refs at the end.
Yeah, that's why, like, I'm not... We have our mobile sports gambling now in Kentucky, and I'm not looking forward to betting on these, like, basketball games because it's just the fouls, the whistles. It's gross. It's gross. You know what isn't gross, though, Freddie? The Jacksonville Jaguars are ass kickers.
Yeah, how about that? I watched that.
I fully expected the Steelers to show, like, a backbone there, but – I mean, five in a row, there's some dudes. They are certified dudes in Jacksonville.
The Steelers had nothing for Luke Fortner, so he single-handedly won that game for the Jaguars.
Two good whirlwinds in a row for the Jags. At New Orleans and at Pittsburgh back-to-back, two not bad teams to win back-to-back on the road like that. It's not easy. So that was two good wins for the fighting cats down there in Jacksonville.
Are your cats all the way back?
Yeah, I think so.
You said that with like a, you're scared to say it, like just like a,
if that's the Joe Burrow I'm getting, I'm gonna have a lot of good Sundays. I have a feeling here over the next few months.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Will Levis right now?
Ooh,
I'll take number 9.
All right.
It's your funeral. Yeah, it's your funeral. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I mean, Levis versus the Steelers on Thursday night. We get Amazon Prime.
Row game. Yeah, first row game.
That should like that. I know people like to. They're going to want to joke about how it's going to be an ugly game, but I'm going to be locked in. I'm going to be super locked in. It's exciting. Exciting times.
This is my. I'm so glad Kentucky basketball plays an exhibition game Thursday night face.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That's my excitement face.
Well, you just do the look and just double screen. I mean, no, like Drew. Here's the thing: nobody's gonna know if you didn't watch the game, even if you were there. I mean, Matt said that the blue white game was a 4-on-4, and like nobody batted an eye. You know, like
I had no clue. I mean, of course it was 4-on-4. Why wouldn't it be?
Right. Like,
that was one of his bigger facts or optionals of all time when he just completely reformatted the game.
I mean,
I was just like, of course Cal would play 4-on-4 in Northern Kentucky. Why wouldn't he?
Oh no, we have drama in the center. Louisville have a chance to tie. Uh-oh. Oh, no. They're dribbling it out. I think it's illegal to do play-by-play, so I'm not talking about any game in particular. Sky Clark at the butt. Not at the buzzer. Nope.
Oh, it looks like it got blocked.
What?
Oh, my gosh. A foul.
You're way ahead of me.
Sorry. It wasn't at the buzzer at all. 16 seconds left.
See, I'll use ESPN Plus to watch a Louisville crumble in exhibition, but boy-white game. Sorry, guys.
We should play Louisville 4-on-5. They can have 5. We'll have 4. I think it'd be fair.
All threes or twos. Kentucky doesn't get threes. They can just get twos.
There's a lot of like little brother stuff, but that really is like, all right, we're only going to play left-handed today. All right, you guys can play normal. We're going to play left-handed. Oh, man, they suck. They really, really do suck.
Yeah, and they just missed a free throw. Wesleyan going to the line up 2 with 15 seconds. I mean, not that, because we're not talking about any game in particular. But hypothetically, a purple team is going to the line up 2.
So, who do y'all think wins Saturday? We'll do some football talk in between. Alabama or LSU?
Freddie?
Where's the game?
Tuscaloosa. 7:30 kickoff.
LSU.
Jaden Daniels, like that, it does feel like who do I trust more at quarterback game, and I trust Jaden Daniels, but it's a can Alabama take advantage of LSU's just awful, awful defense?
Yeah,
right? First free throw is good.
That's where I'm at. It feels like LSU should win that, but how bad? Like, just can the defense get the stops? But. Like, Jaden Daniels has been awesome. So, that's a hard one for me to pick. I think I would lean Alabama at this point, but probably come Saturday, I'll probably be on that LSU side.
Like that. Wesleyan's up 4 with 16 seconds to go. Louisville's going to get the ball. Who else do we got? What other big games do we got this weekend? We'll just do that.
We got nothing really in the Big Ten because all those teams are waiting to play each other. I think that happens later. Missouri, Georgia. Do y'all think Georgia covers the 16.5?
I thought they weren't going to cover last week, and I was very wrong, so I'm taking Georgia. I think I've been wrong on Georgia games all year. Whichever side I take, I'm wrong.
K-State at Texas, that has some potential to be fun.
Yeah, and then last Bedlam is this week, too, Oklahoma State.
Oh, we've got Boz and Gundy are talking smack to each other on the line. Gundy was talking about how he spit in Boz's face, and Boz is like, I'll meet you at the 50-yard line.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, which, like, you want to talk about a great old man fight. Those dudes, like, because old men fights, Freddie, you know how it is. You just got to fight dirty, right? Like, you can't fight for long. So, like, those dudes would just go right for the jugular.
You got to get it done the first 2.5 seconds or it ain't happening. So, you know, you got to score on the first possession or you're going to get beat.
Wesleyan did the just whatever we do, don't foul approach. So we'll cut it to 2 with the layup. 6.9 seconds, Wesleyan's going back to the free throw line. You sure you're not going to be locked in?
Yeah. Nick, are you on Northwestern Iowa under? Are you going
to
be on it?
Yeah, and I think I need to get on it now because it's at 29.5, and I think it's actually going to go down, right? Like,
oh, my gosh. How low can we get this thing? And then I'm going to – you almost have to play it just for the ride.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Oh, which, by the way, our pigskin preview picks were not great last week.
Yeah,
the only one that got home is Minnesota picked off a pass at the goal line to preserve a 40-point under. 4-point game. Louisville's not going to be able to do it.
I did it too fast.
Oh, man, they hit a 3 to make it a 1-point game with a second left. Oh, my gosh. Banana land.
Rest in peace, Sam Ball. I don't think we addressed that.
We did not. Good call.
Yeah. Shane was a teammate of mine. Is a teammate of mine.
Yeah.
And that's his dad. Yeah, Sammy was a legend, man. Consensus. Hold on, I got. He was a consensus first team All American, first team All SEC, first round draft choice by the Baltimore Colts, and won a championship, then won a Super Bowl with the Colts. So,
yeah,
great dude, man. He was really, really good dude. He spoke at one of our banquets, and good family and prayers to Shane O and that whole Ball family. I mean, he's a legend. Will always be remembered.
He did the walk off Super Bowl. just retire. I got my ring. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
Blocking for Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, he also when Darian Kennard was a consensus All-American, it was like I don't think there had been another one since Sam Ball. Like that, he was always the linchpin, you know, like because he was that good. He was great. I want to say he was a top five pick in the draft too.
Yeah, he was. You know, he just
Mr. Everything.
Mr. Everything. One of the best players to ever play at Kentucky, regardless of generation or era. So, yeah, he was. I mean, when you're a consensus All American, you're pretty daggone good.
Well, and those teams of Bradshaw there in the mid '60s, like they were a couple wins away from being special every year. Rick Kessner, Rick Norton, like they had some dudes. They upset that number one Ole Miss team. So they had some ball players back in the day. That's, you know, it gets overlooked because, you know, they didn't have that big pop with like a big bowl win. But they had some really good ball players there. And Sam Ball is definitely one of the best of the best. So rest in peace to one of the Big Blue Nation's best ever. Oh, and we have a foul. Louisville dude like concussed himself trying to foul.
Interesting Hail Mary heave there.
Yeah, yeah. Bold strategy.
I'm just now seeing it.
Yeah.
It looks like a shot to bury on. High risk, high reward.
Nick, you know that university and that city. Like, if they lose this, not that anyone was going to get on board, but the first few games, I'm sure some people would show up and have a drink. Like, does anyone even bother going?
Oh, no. And the thing is, too, is Louisville fans, they very, like, when they tune out, they tune all the way out. Like, look at, I've been to Southern Miss games with, like, 1,000 people there, you know, in the football stands, right? Like, when they go out, they go all the way out. And it was bad last year. You can't, they don't even act like the basketball program exists right now. It's just, like, Brom or nothing.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mel, Trinity, St. X, Ballard all have better attendance to their hoops games.
Yeah.
January, February.
It's going to be bad. I wonder if they even will take tickets at the door. Like, is it just...
Should we try to go in there and just, like, record a show?
Like, let's do the KSR football podcast live from a Monday, like, Louisville game.
You know, there's a random, like, Wednesday night they'll play Pitt or Clemson or whoever in the ACC, Boston College. Just go in there and just go sit in the 15th row somewhere when we're by ourselves and just record like a 30-minute podcast.
I think we should do it. We should just start a Louisville basketball podcast where we just go sit in the crowd and talk about how no one's there. Every week we just talk about how people aren't there.
Oh, look at that seat.
How have they managed to stretch this game into 15 more minutes? There was a minute left when we decided to do this exercise.
College hoops, man. It's back.
Oh no! And now they're replaying. I mean, like, what are we doing here? All right. I will say,
over, Freddie. Just hang in there.
Going to the Yum Center to like drink and have a good time like that. I enjoy myself. Been to a couple volleyball games this year. Even got on the Jumbotron once. Yeah.
Because you had a 50-50 shot. It was you or the other person there.
Well, that would be great if the Jumbotron just. They got to have like the SID come over, like, stop putting those guys on. Oh, that's the contest, is going to a Louisville game to see how many times we can get on the Jumbotron because they have to put somebody else on there.
It's over. Wow. 71-68. Your University of Louisville Cardinals fall to 0-1 in the preseason.
We can wear our Kenny Payne Won Those Games t-shirts.
Kenny Payne might be at a UK game in UK gear before our football season's over.
Oh, he talked about the blue-white scrimmage. People got so mad. That was great.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun. Well, this has been great. Thanks to Justice Dental for sponsoring the KSR football podcast that sometimes goes play-by-play for Louisville basketball losses because it's such hilarious entertainment. We appreciate y'all for tuning in with us. We'll be back next week for more. Go Cats and go Kroger.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.